Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Hello. I'm here. This isn't some live trickery puppeteering. Ashley is still pregnant.
Excellent. Yeah. Also, you played Horizon Zero Dawn, so...
Oh, do we have to get that... Do we have to get that right out of the way? Like,
oh, no, we have to, because otherwise I'm just going to stop the stream now. So we have to make sure everyone knows that Ryan did play Horizon Zero Dawn. So
I was going to make a joke.
Okay, we can go ahead with the show.
Yeah, I was going to make a joke that I actually played something else. But and I even had in the notes, like, oh, you know what? I won't even put Horizon. I'll just put Sonic Mania here, even though like I literally only had time to buy it and play a couple levels. But no, I figured
I literally would have hung up on you.
She would have.
I would have been like, okay, show's over.
She wouldn't have even shown up.
No longer a thing. She 281 episodes. That's all.
All due to the fact that a game came out in late February that was clearly made for me, because it is one of those games that, you know, hits every single checkbox that I have, like strong female character that is unique. And doesn't, like, and actually, like, is a legitimate female character that they've put design into, and they haven't just, like, I don't know, stripped some clothing off in between the boobs and the lower regions, and we're good to go. Like, no, this is an actual, you know, they put a lot of work in it.
She is a very well-written female character, and she's not annoying. I usually find female characters in video games to be poorly written and annoying, but she is not.
She's not annoying, and I even got to this one bit where this guy, you walk up to him, and he says, like, oh, I've got a fancy reward for you, and if you get the reward, you'll be able to buy something more fitting to your form. And she's like, what is that supposed to mean? And he's like, well, you know, like, buy something, you know, a little more. And she's just like, all right, I'm going to pretend you didn't say that and ask what you want, because clearly you're a bad person. It was a really interesting interaction, and the game's filled with it. My biggest problem with the game is that I think the more a game gets to photorealism, the harder it is for them to sort of match the lip syncing. Like, I think it's a real problem with these really good looking games, and you notice it really, like, really quickly. Like, it's no Mass Effect Andromeda. Andromeda is bad. This has its moments.
I feel like, I don't know if I talked to you about this, mm-hmm. or if I talked to, because we had Matt Forkham was doing all the Horizon stuff when you were bowing out back when the game came out. Mm-hmm. I think you were traveling for work or something. So I can't remember if I talked to you about it or if I talked to him about it. But one way or the other, I've had this conversation before, and I figured out why I didn't notice the lip syncing is because I had, like, the closed captions or whatever. Like, I had the subtitles on.
Right.
So I was, like, kind of, like, reading along with the voice acting. I wasn't looking straight at the character. And that made a huge difference.
Yeah. I do that occasionally, and I would only notice it... I've only noticed it a little bit when I'm not reading the subtitles. And the thing is, it's not a deal breaker. It's just, it's a problem a lot of games have, and I understand why they have it, because it's a very expensive and time-consuming problem to solve. And you notice the difference. You notice a big problem these days, because a lot of games don't have cutscenes. They have in-engine sort of cinematics that just roll right into the gameplay. So I think that's why you notice it a lot more these days, because there's less pre-rendered stuff. I even noticed it kind of a little bit with Injustice too, where some of the stuff was like spot on and then other stuff was just not so hot. But again, it's a minor thing because it really doesn't impact the gameplay whatsoever. It's just one of those standard video game problems that everybody has to deal with the weird sock puppet moments. And it's more so in the secondary quests. The main quests, very well done. All the animation's been gone through probably multiple times to make sure it just looks just right. And everything Alloy says is spot on. It's really good. Mm-hmm. But anyways.
It's the secondary quest givers and the, yeah.
Yeah, the guys you're only going to see twice. And I've had this real problem with Horizon, though, where I get lost in all the errands and all the side quests and all the stuff that pops up, and I find it hard to kind of like focus, because I think one thing we talked about is that there's no like pressing world-ending moment, you know. It's kind of just you're in this world, you've been set free, and it's time to explore and help and, you know, progress.
That's kind of the thing about this game, is that there is no big, like, the Reapers are attacking Earth and that's happening right now and that's driving your whole story. It's like Aloy's not even 100% sure she knows what the story is. And just when you think that you know what the story is, a whole other section of story opens up and you go, oh, that's not actually the big bad. Like, here's the big bad. And it just kind of keeps growing like that. So it's like, I liked it because it gave me time to explore the side quests and it gave me time to kind of help who I wanted to help. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it does kind of get rid of that driving force, I guess. Like, you always have main quest lines, but I think even, I'm not sure exactly where you are in the game, but there was one point where it's like you can basically go west or go north with your tribesmen, and going west opens up a whole other big part of the world. And I went north with my tribesmen. I thought that was the main storyline, and then it turned out to be one of the, like, main side quests. And I was kind of like, when I got the achievement for it, when it was done, I was like, oh, this isn't the story.
Yeah, it's it's good.
It's different and it has pros and cons.
Yeah, and I think the game, the problem I was having is that the combat wasn't clicking, and I had mentioned this in the Discord where I'd be rolling constantly and then dying a lot, because a lot of those monsters, those robots, they just overwhelm you, and they're just much, much stronger, because the way you have to take them down is kind of Monster Hunter style, and that you have to do it very strategically.
Yeah, you do. You have to have a plan, basically, going in.
Very rarely can you get a couple of pot shots in and not go through all your potions just to kill one of the higher up enemies. And you do get a little, you do get more tools, tricks of the trade, like overriding specific animals so that they then fight and distract and you can set up traps. But actually today, before we started recording, I think it finally clicked for me, because I went into a vendor and I finally realized, oh, I should be keeping, like, the rare items, because you don't actually buy outfits. You pay a little bit, but you actually trade stuff for them.
Yes, and that was a mistake that I made early on in Horizon, because there's stuff that says, like, trading to merchants, and that's a different descriptor than, like, selling to merchants, but I thought they were the same. So I was, like, selling all of my rare parts because I was just like, oh, look at all the shards or whatever I get for this. And then I was like, later on, I was like, oh, wait, I needed that part, like the whatever heart of the whatever robot to get the armor I wanted. And it's very specific.
Yeah. I've run into it a couple times where, and I finally realized, like, it all sort of happened at once. And this could probably be chalked up to the fact that I've been trying to, every time I was playing before this week, I was beelining it. Like, okay, I got to get to the point where this finally clicks with me, because the whole formula is here. All the pieces that make a great game that Ryan loves is here. It's just for some reason not clicking. And it could be the fact that I'm being distracted by other things and I'm not having enough free time. But this thing came back in February, so there's really not any excuses. It's 6 months ago this thing came out. And I think it's finally, I've got it. It's I'm locked in. I'm going to play through it. I'm the combat clicked with me. Like, I started to get upgraded armor and then realized why I should buy different sets. Because the game basically says to you, like, okay, the robots are dumb. If you're hiding in the long grass, they're not going to see you until you do something stupid or you initiate combat. So actually what I did was, the game doesn't give you quests for some really important things, like the cauldrons. They're just sort of on the map. And if I had known that they just sort of pop up as soon as you hit that, like, that giraffe-looking thing, I would have beelined right for them, because they give you the ability to override new animals.
Right? It took me, I got way further in the story than I should have without the ability to override anything except for the very first animals you get at the cauldron. So I found, like, the very first cauldron, because you get sent there. And then after that, I was just like, I was almost like waiting for the next quest, but there are no more cauldron quests. You just have to, when you find them, like when you see the symbol on the map, you just have to go there. And so, yeah, I think I got maybe even as far as like 2/3 of the way through the game before I was like, because the combat is so hard when you can't override anything. Like, Even just overriding one of the herd to help you fight and to distract the other ones makes it so much easier.
It's that distraction level, and sometimes stealth isn't going to do it, and you're going to have to take some licks, and you're going to have to get your hands dirty. But the other thing I did was I unlocked like an epic tier bow, and then modified it a little bit, and that gives you, once you have more flexibility, because, you know, early on, if you don't upgrade your weapons or your armor or go to the cauldrons, they constantly introduce new animals that have different weaknesses and different targets to hit, and if you're not like upgrading your weapons to keep up with those animals, you're gonna fail.
It gets very punishing.
Very punishing, yeah. And I, you know, you find yourself getting a little distracted, especially against the corruptors. The mission I did was the other dude with the focus. You're following him around, and then you go to this like quarry, and it's a bunch of the shadow guys, and then two corruptors. The first time you fight a corruptor, you don't have anything. You literally just have your bow, but you've got a bunch of guys helping you. So really, you just need to let the other guys take the heat on it, and then you just go in and kind of peck away at it. But with this, it's like you and a useless person against two corruptors. He's literally useless. He would just constantly get hit over, and it's like, great. And you know, that was pretty frustrating, because it took a long time to kill both of them. I did it, and it felt great, but
that's one of the things that I liked so much about Horizon, is I found that once I actually defeated something, there was this sense of accomplishment, because they are very difficult combat situations.
Yeah, and
but not as punishing as Dark Souls.
No, not as punishing as
Dark Souls. Still not as punishing as Dark Souls.
And punishing is one of those things where it's only punishing if you're not learning from your mistakes, which is also something that Dark Souls kind of holds near and dear. Except Dark Souls is a masochist game. It's not for me. I've tried it a couple times in the show. So for those who haven't listened to all 282 episodes, we should like bookmark the Dark Souls, you know, Jocelyn and Ryan play Dark Souls episodes. So we just never have to do it again. So basically the combat clicked with me, and then I started laying traps, and I started getting new weapons, like not just the upgraded bow, but the upgraded, rope casters, and then the upgraded trip lines and the bomb guys, and just using all those, and then suddenly going from piercing like just a normal arrow, a lightning tripwire and a couple of rope casters, you've now got every element on your weapon wheel, the ability to pierce, like very strong armor, and you're doing a great job, and you're working your way through it. It's amazing. I'm just tearing through animals, and I'm in love with the combat again.
Yes.
And I find that
you'd like it if you got into it.
I know, and I really did. Like I think you and any other gamers who have been telling me to play this game should be very proud, because we're going to talk about something later on with No Man's Sky and some other games that came out this week. That the only time I slipped was with Sonic Mania, and I didn't play enough of it to talk about it this week. I'll save it for next week. But you know, Horizon was one of those things. Like, no. I shouldn't play Fortnite. We don't have Zamp this week. I'll just keep trucking with Horizon. I gotta get it to click. Mm-hmm. And it finally did. And the story is still not quite there yet, but I think the land and the world is kind of keeping me going, because there's always someone new that's interesting to talk to, and there's new people to interact with. And the breadcrumbs they are laying are enticing enough to make me want to go back to the main quest every once in a while. And I find that the side quests do get a little boring if you're just doing those, but that's why they're called side quests. Like, I'm not going to punish a game for, you know, doing what every other game does. And this game does it really, you know, better than those, in that, you know, it's fully voice acted. It's, you know, these characters interacting.
Well, yeah, and I found even if you were doing similar tasks for people, I found that they still had interesting enough stories that I wanted to actively go and help them. Like, there's I don't want to give too much information just in case you aren't there yet, but there's like side quests where there's like an inheritance issue with a farm, and it's overrun with like the robots. And then there's another one where like somebody's daughter's gone missing, and you know, like there's a lot of really, even though in the end it's just kind of like a fetch quest and an escort quest and, you know, combat quest, they frame it in interesting story, and it's not like, oh my god, my daughter's gone missing, and then the next town you get to, oh my god, my daughter's gone missing.
No.
Like they are all different. So
yeah, the one that really jumped out at me, because you get to a new town and then there's a bunch of green things, and I'm like, all right, let's see what you guys got. And one guy's like, oh no, someone broke in and stole my sword, and I want my sword back, please, I won't press charges, I'm super nice, but they stole my sword. So I'm like, oh great, this is just gonna be like a Batman Arkham Knight sort of detective mode thing, I can do this anytime. So I finally decided to do it, and you scan, sure enough, it's follow the hologram guy, but then it leads into a different, like, it starts as the, you know, Arkham Knight sort of Batman, you know, detective
yeah.
mode, and then goes into, oh, he ditched the sword, and then you find out, oh, the sword was actually being sold because I'm Robin Hood, and it's like, okay.
Yeah, this is at least starting to get somewhere. That's what I mean. They take some interesting kind of twists and turns. It's not just like, go find the sword, bring the sword back, get your money, move on.
Yeah. And I, you know, the one thing I need to know, and the one thing I missed since the very beginning of the game, was the, you go underground, and I think it's when you're a kid and you go underground and you see like the old world. And I haven't gone back to that yet. Like, I haven't seen it. And I kind of miss it. I miss what they were showing there. And maybe that's like part of the story that they didn't want to focus on. But that's kind of where my interest is, like the world
so
before.
I was going to say, yeah, and it's possible that you haven't gotten far enough yet. Mm-hmm. But keep your eyes open all the time, because there are a lot of kind of hidden entrances. There's a lot of caves. There's a lot of like... artifacts, I guess, from the old world that explain the story. Like, it's very much like, pay attention to your collections, because the more of your collection you flesh out, the better. Like, the more you're going to understand the story, because in terms of like what happened to make the world what it is now, there's some of it in the main quest line, but it's not like, there's enough in the main quest line that if you miss all of everything, all of the collections, all the side stuff, if you miss all of it, the main story will still make sense.
Okay.
But it's so much better if you kind of piece together what the world was like before.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm not saying that I haven't found, you know, vantage points and the mugs and the texts and the voice lines. The vantages
are
probably...
The voice lines are the really important ones.
Yeah, and I found, like, the vantages are my favorite, where it kind of shows a part of the city, and then you hear this guy talking, and I think it's that guy throughout, and he's got a diary going, and it's really cool, and that's what I'm fascinated about, because one of the things that really clicked with me in pre-release was that this was a game that was the post-apocalypse. Like, the apocalypse happened... Humans rebounded to and just reset to a very nomad tribal
state.
Thing.
Yeah,
and that is just, it's fascinating, because it's just, I hesitate to say it's never been done, because almost everything has, but this is probably the first time it's been done really well and at like a mass market scale. So I'm gonna keep going. Like, Mystery Dude from Fringe radioed me briefly.
Right. When that happened, because I didn't know, like, going into Horizon, I was excited about it. It looked really cool, but I didn't do any research or anything. So when that guy showed up in my ear, I like freaked out. I was like, oh my God, I love this guy.
Yeah. He's
really
good.
Excited. He was in Quantum Break too, right?
Like, yeah. I just know you'd known him from Fringe, because we were so into Quantum Break. And he's also kind of a Guerrilla Games, he's a Guerrilla Games staple. Yeah. He was in, I don't know how far he was into Killzone, Shadow Zone, or whatever, because I stopped playing that game because it was a launch title and it was kind of bad. But he was in that, and he was very good. He's also in a couple of Call of Duties, I believe, as well. But he's great. But honestly, like, the thing that made me want to, like, I gotta finish this, was because there was just this moment where you're in the cauldron and it's like, okay, now you got to take out the big snapjaw in the middle, or you won't be able to progress. And I just, okay, this is the best training ever, because he's not going to come out until I let him out. So I'm just going to play some traps around, get some tripwires going. Like, all right, I'm prepared. You bring the shield down, and then there's a snap maw, because I knew he was there. I saw him. And then out of nowhere, this, like, razor tooth thing, like, saber tooth tiger robot comes out. And I'm like, great, I got to fight a giant alligator and a saber tooth tiger. They nearly tore me limb from limb. But the thing is, I always forget that I have my other tools. You know, there's no reason why I don't even have to pump a bunch of rope casters into them. I can just literally tie them down with one, and that'll at least separate them enough that they're not all coming at me. But yeah, no, I just, the combat's really good, and I remember comparing it to Tomb Raider, and then now I kind of feel bad because it's not really the case, because you have more tools to use. In Tomb Raider, like, yeah, it had a different gun and a pickaxe to swing. It's not to say it wasn't fun, but there's just much more to Alloy's tool Kit. Set.
Yeah.
So I met the Banuer guys, the guys from up north, and that sounds really cool.
Those are the guys I think that they're going to focus on in the expansion.
Yes. Yeah.
Because you kind of do like a side quest with them, but they're not really, they're not explored as much as I kind of had hoped they would be. So, but it looks like they might have a bigger part to play going forward. So that's going to be really cool.
And I'm excited about a new area, because the new areas that they've crafted here are really, really well put together. Like, you have the forest area, then you do have like the mountainous, snowy areas, then like the deserty areas and the jungle. I haven't seen a jungle yet, but there appears to be some.
Yes, yeah, foliage. There's more jungly areas. Yeah.
But I'm really digging it, and I'm not surprised it took me this long to get to it, because it is a beefy game and a game with a lot of systems, and you know, just having limited time to jump into it. But I did devote like a whole week worth of time. I also had to catch up on Game of Thrones, so
obviously, you know,
I binged like, not that this is the show, but you know, I binged like 5 episodes because I was asking you and Garrett on Twitter. It's like, so should I catch up? Because really, like, don't really know if I should catch up. I mean, I've made it this far, but like, I don't know. I'm excited that I found free time, because I'm not gonna have it in a little bit. Yeah. So.
So I'm glad that you got back into Horizon. And so how far are you actually now into the story? So you've made it to the big main city then?
I've made it to the big...
If you went to the quarry and...
Yeah, so the main big city with the... He talked to me once. I haven't heard him since. Now, mind you, I haven't started the next main quest line, which would be finding the mystery red hair lady. So
you were talking about how you thought that the like the old world stuff is really interesting. Mm-hmm. When you go on that mission, you like have to climb a big tower. Have you climbed a big tower yet?
No.
Okay. Climbing the big tower a lot of like old world information, and I think you'll really like it. So pay a lot of attention when you're doing all of that, and find all of the extra audio logs and stuff. And even when you think you're at the top of the tower, keep going, because when I was trying to 100% the game, I had to go all the way back to the top again because I missed an audio log.
So, all right. I'll do that.
When you think you're at the top, you're not.
Yeah, I've been having the carrot on the stick. It hasn't really been pushing me towards the main quest, because there's just, you know, there's a lot of carrots in a lot of directions, and really no, you know, no driving force behind you. And I assume eventually, like, obviously there's a driving force. Like, there is bad out there, and they are killing, and they're doing bad things. And the robots, what's up with the robots? They're kind of mean. Let's solve that problem.
Well, that's kind of I found myself pulled towards the main city quest line, which again, technically is a side quest. Just because I found that to be like the immediate pressing threat.
Yeah.
So
the two warring factions between the new sun god and what's his face? Evil Hitler-esque type person. I can't remember. Kills a bunch of people.
So that's where I found myself being pulled for sure.
Yeah.
So I can see how you would not be. And I was pulled that way right up until I did the big tower quest. So, and then I kind of went, oh, the main story is super freaking cool.
I'm going to do that.
And then I started kind of focusing a little bit more on the main story. But the more side quests you do, the more it kind of all ties together in the end. So side quests, though, not errands. Like, they're specifically flagged as like side quests to complete. Yeah. So
I'm I guess for me is like, I feel like I've been trying to do the side and errands because they seem like quick XP. But I think I'm at like level 22, where those type of quests aren't like doing a huge bump, because it's more walking and talking as opposed to actual combat, which I find combat gives you a lot of XP when you're killing a lot of robots. So
I generally stayed like 5-ish levels ahead of the recommended level for the main quest, and I found that way I didn't get frustrated because otherwise, like, because we've talked about how punishing the combat is, if you stay ahead of it level wise, then you can usually get through it in one or two tries. And I found that was more satisfying. So I went and did a whole bunch of the side quests and little practice combat missions and things like that until I was leveled up way above what the recommended level for the main quest was. So I think the last recommended level for the main quest is like, I want to say like 25, and you are like maybe a third of the way through the main quest. So like you're doing really well on level.
Good. Well, I'm glad. I've been really just grinding out a lot of those side quests and having a, it kind of looking at the skill tree and kind of thinking, okay, this would be, these three would be really good things to have. But it feels like everything on the two left tiers are really useful. But I haven't been doing a lot on the third tier, so that's probably why I haven't gotten to anything that I really, really want. But yeah, I've really been enjoying it, and I think it's just a matter of there being sort of a lull between Splatoon entering the I'll play it every once in a while phase and not quite getting to Mario and Rabbids and all that fun stuff. I mean, like late August, early September is kind of crazy for games. Like there's a lot of stuff coming out at the end of August.
When does Rabbids actually come out? Oh, sorry, Mario and Rabbids come out?
It's a, I you can call it Rabbids. Like, I think, like, when you look at that game, the Rabbids are the stars, and Mario's just allowed along for the ride. You know, they are technically in the Mushroom Kingdom, but when you look at it, like, the Rabbids are the stars. But no, it comes out August 29th, which is not next week, but the week after. And it's a weird Tuesday release, because usually Nintendo games come out on Fridays, so... I'm kind of stoked that it's coming out on Tuesday, because honestly, when they come out on Fridays, I don't get them till Tuesday. So, yeah. So next Tuesday.
Very cool. So I've been playing a couple things. I've had kind of a very Blizzard-centric week, other than my still-going addiction to PUBG, man. I've been playing that almost every night. It's insane. Oh, nice. It's actually, it pulled me away from Heroes, which... I didn't think after the 2.0 update, I didn't think that was possible. But yeah, my new like PvP multiplayer thing that I do is, I'm obsessed with that game. But anyways, so the two things that happened for me this week in the Blizzard universe were obviously Hearthstone Knights of the Frozen Throne came out, which was the new Hearthstone expansion, as well as StarCraft Remastered. So I can talk about StarCraft first, because that's kind of the thing I have the least experience with. I never actually played StarCraft the original. I got into StarCraft with StarCraft II actually when Heart of the Swarm released. So I played Wings of Liberty heading into that. So I kind of picked it up and played it in the 2 weeks heading into the Heart of the Swarm launch. So I came to StarCraft way late. I'm actually wearing my StarCast t-shirt, hoping that maybe we'll get StarCast Remastered.
Ooh, maybe.
To go with StarCraft
Did you run that joke by... By Garrett.
Oh, I'm going to poke him and tell him to watch this specific segment of Good. Gamers In This
there
Week.
There you go.
But yeah, so it was actually, it's really cool. I've only played the first, like, mission, not the tutorial, like, the first actual, like, mission. And, I don't know what I was expecting, but I've never actually seen, like, footage of, like, StarCraft and Brood Wars and stuff, which StarCraft Remastered was for... $15, it's both, right? It's StarCraft and Brood Wars, the expansion.
That's good.
But yeah, I've never seen it. I've never played it. And I'm used to, like, the graphics and the mechanics and everything else from StarCraft 2. So I booted up StarCraft 1, and I was like, whoa.
Oh, yeah, 98, like, you gotta think.
Well, that's, like... the thing. Like, it is, and it's, so it's what? So it was 1998, so almost 20 years old.
Yeah. Yeah, it's 20 years old.
And it's obviously it's remastered. It runs really smoothly. Like, they did a great job. But I was just like, man, I don't know what I was expecting, but it was not this. Like, I didn't kind of realize, like, how old it was. And even seeing Raynor's got, like, a shaved head. I was like, that's not my Jim Raynor.
Not my Jim Raynor. Nice. No, I think that I'm curious. Like, it feels like you're holding back a word that you don't want to say because to describe your surprise here, because StarCraft came out a long time ago. I remember playing it on the N64. Yes, I know. I played it on an inferior system. It wasn't a PC. Yada yada yada. I got it all out of there for you. But it's a good game in that it is one of the early, really well done, you know, RTSs. And if you look at Warcraft 1 and 2, those were really good as well. But I think Starcraft was where you hit that milestone of this game's gameplay will be good for mm-hmm. a very long time. And I'm curious as though, you know, if this holds up. You know, is this remastering, like, does it feel like a remastering? Does it feel like the graphics have been maybe not brought to the 2017 age? Because obviously they could have just remade StarCraft in the StarCraft 2 engine, but as a remaster... Well,
and that's kind of what I assumed it was going to be, and okay. it's totally not. Like, it is, like, original, like, yeah, original StarCraft, which is really cool for me because I'm actually getting to experience it, you know, the way it was originally, the way it was meant to be played. So, and the fact that I've played StarCraft 2, there's actually so many of like the commands and controls that carry over between the two. So that was great too, because I didn't have to play the tutorial. I could jump right in. When I did jump right in, it was like I could control all the units and I knew how to build stuff, and it was super, super easy. So like easy in terms of getting back into playing StarCraft, not easy as in like the mission difficulty. But yeah, I enjoy it. I think it's really cool. It's definitely worth it if you have any interest in StarCraft whatsoever, because it tells the whole original story, right? Like, it's like Kerrigan's origin story. Like, why wouldn't you want to go watch that?
Yeah, and you know, I can't tell you the last time I played original StarCraft again. I remember vividly playing it through on the N64. And that's about it. Like, I remember key moments, and I remember Brood War and Kerrigan being, spoiler alert, you know, the Queen of Blades. but I don't remember anything about the Protoss. If you ask me, do you remember anything, any Protoss missions? Like, no, don't remember any. I remember Jim Raynor and his little vulture, and be like, he'd say really weird things and sound really crappy out of my TV. But it's one of those games that remastering, I'm excited that they've done it, because it's kind of been a long time coming, and it's one of those games that Blizzard has in their pantheon, their, you know, their past releases that actually needed a re-release. I don't think there's any other games that they have, and no offense to fans of other Blizzard games, but if you look back, I don't think there's another game that would, like, maybe original Warcraft, just for nostalgia's sake.
Orcs versus humans and stuff, like.
Yeah, but
I think the original, the Warcraft RTSs, all three of them, I think would be worth.
They would.
Redoing.
I think that
there's just so much lore there, dude.
Well, true. That would be the biggest thing, is that if World of Warcraft was suffering, and you wanted to boost it a little bit with, like, okay, here's where the World of Warcraft story came from, you could remaster those three games. And what they would look like, probably the first two would look a lot like StarCraft Remastered, and then three would just be like an up-res. Because that game, you know, looked pretty good.
That's still playable.
Yeah. And
I kind of hope they just do like Warcraft 4, and it's just like War of the Ancients, and that's where they go with that. Because I would play an RTS of War of the Ancients in a second.
Warcraft 4 is one of those games that I think is being held back by the success of WoW and just the failure of RTS genre right now. Like, it's very hard to kind of compete with those two, you know, massive elephants in the room. And I think StarCraft Remastered is Blizzard sort of testing the waters of, like, okay, how do people react to a $15 remastering? And honestly, $15 is kind of, for me, a forgettable amount of money for something that is going to play it once or twice and be like, oh, remember those days? And some people will beat it, and some people will play through it and be very happy, and I might be one of those folks. But I think $15 is very well priced, especially for a Blizzard game. Like, I could have seen them charging $30 for this and having no problem with it. Mm-hmm. And a lot of folks would be like, Blizzard tax, but
still, I mean, like I mentioned, you're getting Brood War too, so it's the whole package, right? Yeah. So $15 is crazy. For the experience, the chance to get to play through original StarCraft, I think is definitely worth $15. And you get both pieces of content, which back in the day would have been worth, like, way more money than that.
Well, yeah. And the thing is that you're also getting, like, a $5 free co-op hero if you're still into StarCraft 2 and their co-op missions. You get Stukov, who's free, and that's, like, a $5 value. So they've already given you a bunch of stuff.
Do you get Stukov in not Heart of the Swarm.
No, Heroes
of the Storm.
No. And see, that's the thing, is I feel like maybe they're trying to push as much StarCraft as possible, and maybe they're not making enough money off of those co-op heroes, so they're just kind of like, hey, remember, there's this extra mode that's actually really fun. Speaking of which, I need to get back into that, but I'm excited that this has come out, and I'm excited that Blizzard is treating their fans well with appropriately priced content, because you could kind of see, like, it will never go on sale, but the fact that it's $15, I think, is kind of like, it's already on sale. Mm-hmm. And if you're a big fan of StarCraft, like, I haven't even played it, but from the looks of it, I know some folks who just adored StarCraft and haven't even gotten into StarCraft 2 because they just love StarCraft so much. Mm-hmm. And this is the game for them. And there's even a button you can click, I think, to, like, turn it onto the old graphics, from what I remember reading.
Probably. And so the other thing is, there is multiplayer. So right. Because I know that there are a lot of people who, even to this day, have not switched over from Brood War. They say, like, you know, Brood War was the most interesting StarCraft multiplayer ever. It was the best balanced, you know, all these other things. Like, they sing the praises of Brood War, and as such, never even switched over to StarCraft 2. So I'm really interested to see if there's going to be, like, a resurgence of just StarCraft as an esport, not StarCraft 2. I'm sure StarCraft 2 is going to keep trucking along, but I'm interested to see if we're going to see, like, Brood Wars tournaments and stuff come back into the forefront, because I think that would be really cool to watch. Yeah. I used to watch a lot of StarCraft. I actually really miss, you know, like, oh my god, Husky. When Husky was making videos, I would sit and watch Husky all night long. He was so good. I want Husky back.
Yeah. Yeah, does he not? He doesn't do anything.
No, right? He took over managing his friend's business, so he doesn't actually do it, because she's a big YouTube star. So he doesn't actually do his own YouTube stuff anymore, which is unfortunate because he's so good and he's so entertaining. Anyways, I'm not going to go on a crazy big Husky rant. He's just awesome, and I used to watch him all the time. And please come back.
Come back, Husky.
End of story.
Good. Well, not that it's good that you've ended your story, but I'm glad that you're enjoying StarCraft Remastered, and this completely went over under my radar. I completely forgot it was coming out. For about a couple months, I was looking at the Blizzard launcher, and I'm like, oh, I gotta make sure to pre-purchase this, because, you know, Blizzard always has, like, a bunch of free loot. And I remembered to buy it on the 14th, then forgot immediately, and then remembered again on the 15th, and you know, tweeted Jim. It's like, oh, do you think I'll still be able to get the pre-purchase? And he's like, It's live. You can't pre-purchase it anymore.
You can't pre-purchase something that's been released.
But you still get Stukov. You know, you get Stukov no matter what. So, like, the best value from the pre-purchase, and, you know, Swick in the chat room, I can already hear him typing, Ryan, you don't need that extra digital crap. Stukov is what you need. So just, you can buy it whenever you're ready. Thank you.
Yep.
He doesn't even need to type that. I got you, Paul.
So the other thing that I played that was Blizzard this week was Hearthstone, Knights of the Frozen Throne. So if you guys haven't been following Hearthstone, because I know, Ryan, you enjoy Hearthstone, but you're definitely one of those in and out people. Like, you don't stick with it and play every month and all the rest of it. So the expansion did launch last week. This is the first time we've had back-to-back expansions in a given standard year, because the rotation used to be expansion and then adventure and then expansion. So now they've done away with adventures, which I know was one of your favorite pieces of content, because you really like the single player. But they have free single player tied to this expansion, which I played on stream last week, and it is super fun. It's super hard, and you should absolutely give it a try. Like, when I say hard, I mean it's challenging. You can't just kind of go in there with any old ladder deck and win, which I like about the single player, because it makes you actually go through the collection and put cards in that you wouldn't play on ladder, but that are amazing against, like, certain boss abilities. So it's like rediscovering cards in Hearthstone, right, which is super fun for me.
That's good, and probably really good for people like me who need to come in and kind of go through their card deck, because one of the reasons I don't play a lot of Hearthstone is that I'm terrible at building decks, and I'm terrible at winning. I just can't do it for some reason. I'll get lucky, and I'll get, you know, right in the meta, like, by accident, and you know, push up a couple ranks, but I'm kind of with Gambrinus in the chat room, like, rank 15 for life, usually 20, which I realize is the lowest, but
25 is actually the lowest.
Oh, really? Well, man, maybe I'm coming up in the world. But I think that I'm glad that they've added the single player back in. And, you know, it didn't need to be free for me, but I realized that a lot of folks probably who are more into the competitive scene, which are the more, I would say a majority of the Hearthstone players, I'm assuming, but I don't know, it sounds right, you know, that a majority of the people would be just playing competitive, and they're probably more interested in cards that aren't locked behind, you know, a paywall. As crazy as that sounds, because in order to get the cards, you got to buy a bunch of random packs, but... Yeah, no, I'm excited to try
it. Well, so that's the thing with this single player, is that it's totally free, so mm-hmm. you don't have to pay anything. They give you a free legendary for completing the prologue, which it's actually impossible to lose.
Oh.
And then they give you a free pack once you complete all three bosses in the first wing. So I think there's one free pack for each week, but I'm not 100% sure. But I do know that this first week, wing one, was a free pack as a reward. So, and it was fun. It was like... Yeah, like chat room saying, it's like a puzzle that you have to figure out. And that was always the most fun part. There is no heroic. They just have one difficulty level. So before there was, they had basically like easy mode, and then they had heroic, which was supposed to be more challenging. This is somewhere closer to heroic in terms of difficulty, but they didn't put an easy mode in because there was no reason to, because before there were cards locked behind it, so they wanted to make sure that everyone could complete it if they tried, and now they don't have to do that. So it's basically just difficult Hearthstone puzzles for you to solve.
That sounds really good. I mean,
I got my butt kicked the first time I went into each boss, because it's like they give you some idea of the mechanics from the hero power and stuff, but there's so much more to the fight because you don't know what the cards are, right, that your opponent's going to have, because all the like cards and minions, or not all, but most of the cards and minions that the opponent plays, that your the boss plays that you're fighting against, are unique to them. Mm-hmm. So it's not the kind of stuff that you're used to playing against in Hearthstone. So
okay.
Did take a few tries, but it was really fun. There's also a lot of like quality of life changes that they've made since the last time that you were in Hearthstone. They changed the ladder. So once you get to rank 20, you can't lose stars at that rank. Once you get to rank 15, same thing. So there's like rank floors that you can't fall below. So that's kind of made the ladder a little bit less punishing and a little bit more fun. And then what else? Oh, the deck copying. So if you find a deck online or something that you want to play, or if, like, say, I send you a deck and say, oh, you're having trouble on the third boss in the wing this week, well, here, try this deck. I used it and it worked. It's just like a copy and paste string of characters, and then you can just go Control-C, have it on your clipboard, open up Hearthstone, say create deck, and it says, hey, you have a deck on your clipboard. Do you want to automatically import it? And you say yes, and it's just like, boom, 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 deck done.
Wow.
And then if you're missing any cards from the deck, then it'll give you suggestions for the ones that you're missing.
Oh, well.
That exist in your collection.
That's like, here, Ryan, we know you're going to Google it. It's fine. We won't judge you. We're just going to look at your clipboard. Ignore everything below the Hearthstone deck and then use that.
What the hell do you have on your clipboard,
man? It's mostly boring work stuff. Trust me. You know, directions to the hospital, all that fun stuff. But it's interesting that that they've done that, because it's and that's taken this long, I'm sure Reddit is saying, but it's one of those things that I think a lot of people would be using, because I know those websites that have all the decks that I go to every 6 months whenever a new new content comes
out. New adventure comes out.
Yeah, and that's really good. And I think I got, I don't know what for, but I got like two free packs, and they were, or maybe three packs, and they were all of the Frozen variety, and I got like a legendary priest card or something. I don't know which one it was, but it's I don't know, that's kind of cool. I don't get a lot of legendary cards, so I was excited about that. And honestly, it's whenever there's new content in a Blizzard game, I'm excited, because I know they've polished it, and they've got enough teams working on it that when they have new content coming out every month, it's got that flavor that we're all looking for, which is just mm-hmm. a really good game. So I'm glad that Hearthstone's still doing well, and that the expansions, it's been well received then, as I'm hearing.
It has been. So Un'Goro was the previous expansion that came out in April, and it's probably been the biggest, like the best received. It had the most kind of diverse meta, and it was really, really well done. And then we kind of got to the point where it didn't even slow down that much. And then we got the release of Knights of the Frozen Throne. And with Knights of the Frozen Throne, it has been well received, and there's a lot of people who are really enjoying it, but they brought in Death Knights. So basically all of the classes can now become a Death Knight and they get a new hero power, and it's like really, really mixed things up and changed a lot of things. And a lot of people were calling to have like four Death Knights in Hearthstone as the 10th class. So this was a really cool way to kind of like, without having to retroactively go back and build a whole Death Knight class and give them as many cards as the other nine classes, this is a cool way to kind of incorporate it into the game without breaking everything, basically.
Cool.
So yeah, it's been really well received. And so, and especially since this is our first expansion, from now on, as far as I understand, they're aiming to do single player content to kind of like tell the story of the expansion a little bit more.
Good.
Because they make up all their own, like all their own story and lore and things, right? So they're trying to tell their story through single player. And that's the expectation for all of the expansions going forward. So you're going to get, instead of expansion adventure with single player content expansion, you're now getting expansion, 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 but each of them has like an adventure built in. So
good.
There's a lot of content coming out for Hearthstone, and it's been a lot of fun. So that's, I've, to be honest, that's where I spent most of my gaming time this week, other than, again, PlayerUnknown. But
of course, like Angry Chicken, new expansion.
Yeah.
No one's blaming you here. I wanted you to talk
even
about
yesterday
on the show.
I was the expansion came out on Thursday. Mm-hmm. Yesterday on Angry Chicken was Tuesday, and I was like, oh my god, I spent so much time on Paladin and trying to figure out the Paladin deck and blah 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 blah. I was like, I feel like I spent like weeks on it, and then I was like, wait a minute, it's been literally like 4 days.
Less than a week.
But it was like, I played so much Hearthstone. So
I like hearing, like, as someone who isn't in the thick of it and, you know, isn't keeping up with the game, but here's trickles. I think I've watched more Blizzard Facebook videos about you know, the Lich King working at the Blizzard studios, which are fantastic, by the way. Whatever they're doing, they need to keep doing it. And that's sort of my introduction to Hearthstone, as opposed to before, where it's like I would actually be playing and listening to the Angry Chicken, but now I'm kind of all over the place and just not playing Hearthstone. So it's nice to kind of get that every 4 month update. So is the rotation like, we've got an expansion now, the next expansion will be unveiled at BlizzCon, and you'll get it before the end of the year, April, summer, December? Is that sort of how they're working?
Basically, we don't have, I guess, Mean Streets of Gadgetzan came out in December, so I am assuming that they're going to stick pretty close to that rotation. I'm hoping, though, that the next standard year starts earlier on in the year than it did this year. It was a little bit late, but
okay.
But yeah, I mean, we're kind of thinking it's going to be a December release for the next expansion, but I mean, we're already like mid-August, so I think that's kind of good pacing. I'm totally fine with that. I'm really looking forward to it. They also made, you mentioned you opened a few packs and then you got your Priest Legendary. So they've made changes where you get more packs for doing things. For instance, right now you can go to Battle.net and go to the Hearthstone section, and you can vote for who you think is going to win the global games. And then depending on how well the team does, then you get card packs for that. Mm-hmm. So it's like you get one pack just for voting, and then you get extra packs depending on if they win or not. You also get packs for doing things in game. There's packs available through quests, and they also change the rate of legendary drops. So once you start opening packs in a given expansion, within your first 10 packs, you're guaranteed to get a legendary. And then there's a pity timer after that, which is approximately 40 packs, but it's never like I opened 10 legendaries in 132 packs this last pack opening. So it seems like they've really kind of like upped. Oh, and you also can't get duplicates. That was the other big legendary change. So once you have one legendary, you will never open it in a pack again until you have every legendary in the set. So you have to spend less of your dust crafting legendaries, and it doesn't feel as bad. Like when you open one, you know it's going to be something new. So they've made a lot of really cool changes for like how your pack openings go.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds great. Honestly, I think, you know, Hearthstone's another one of those games that has, even if you've played it a lot, it's like Heroes in that it changes so much that if you leave it for a month, 2 months, and you come back, so much has changed that you have to kind of work your way through it again. And with Heroes, I do bring myself back every couple months, and then I'll go on a tear, and then I'll go away for a little bit. But I think that's the thing with Hearthstone is it sounds like there's enough there. Like, I do appreciate Hearthstone. I like the presentation, and I do like the gameplay as well. When I have a good deck that works out, but it's exciting that they are giving more packs away and treating, you know, free to play players like myself, you know, in a way that, you know, we're not gonna force you into thinking you need to buy packs. If you want to like put the time and effort in, you're gonna get less than you're gonna get more than a trickle now, because before mm-hmm. it felt like you had to grind gold and then you had to, you know, use that gold to buy packs. And now the way you're describing the way they're rewarding people with packs, that sounds really cool.
They've definitely been. There was also an event to get Frozen Throne packs. You had to play arena games. That was the Frost Festival that came just before the expansion came out. So they've been doing a lot more things that have been more like along the lines of kind of like a daily login reward sort of idea without actually being a daily login reward. But they're doing more to kind of encourage people to get in there and play Hearthstone, and they're giving away more stuff. So.
Yeah, and I see that Twitch Prime is going to be having free packs at some point. They've been advertising it for a while, so.
Yes.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Yeah, so. It is. It really is. So before we get into our news this week, we did want to take a second here to thank the patrons over at patreon.com/thegamersin. Thank you guys so much for supporting the show. We are doing game night tomorrow night. It is the third Thursday of the month. So make sure you get into either our Discord over at bit.ly/TGI Discord or go in and comment on the post over on Patreon and let us know what you'd like to see us stream tomorrow for game night. We also have a patron ad this week from The Geek Review. The Geek Review is a podcast that reviews everything and anything. For an honest consumer review, The Geek Review can be found on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Discord, and at thegeekreview.podbean.com. That brings us to our topic of the week this week. We are talking about No Man's Sky. They mm-hmm. actually have an expansion that just came out a year after their original release, which was... not very spectacular, but the new expansion seems to have kind of brought it more in line with what people were expecting in the first place. I didn't play No Man's Sky. My roommate played No Man's Sky, and I watched him for a little bit, and I was just like, this is not for me at all. But the kind of news around the expansion, and it was on sale, and I went to kind of go pick it up today, the more that I heard like positive buzz about it, and the sale's over. It's not on sale anymore. Yeah, so it's back up to like $70, and I was like, meh, screw that. So it was down
to $70 game.
Yeah. So, but it does sound like this expansion called, is it Atlas Rises?
Yes, Atlas Rises.
Yeah. So Atlas Rises is the expansion, and it's out now, and it almost sounds like a different game. Like there's a story and quests and you can see real people.
Yeah. It's getting closer to, I don't want to say what was originally promised, because I think what was originally promised is just, it was unlikely.
It was a pipe dream.
Yeah, exactly. So when they say what it was originally promised, I think what they're trying to say is this is more in line with an experience you'd be comfortable purchasing full price. And I mean, for those who did miss the sale, like yourself, Jocelyn, like this game goes on sale all the time. It's one of those games that gets deep cuts every time there's a sale. So if you don't pick it up now, you could certainly pick it up the next time it goes on sale, winter sale, whatever. But they've added, a good chunk of story, which the story in the original game was laughable. it was kind of like, you're in space, you're driven to go to the center of it. You occasionally run into these Atlas sections that are just different places, space stations to stop to dock at. You talk to the same people inexplicably. I don't know how. You're jumping across space systems, and they just happen to be there every time. And then they give you like this weird speech bubble, and sometimes it's different text, but other times it's still just this like weird bubble that talks to you. So the fact that they've added like 30 hours of story content, to me, that sounds like the biggest addition that that was needed, because I love story content, and I saw this big, huge, procedurally generated universe being squandered because they weren't like adding a story layer to it. Mm-hmm. And you know, Gambrinos in the chat room is asking if it's $70 if you own the original game. This is a free update. For everybody who owns the game.
So I called it an expansion just because it is so much different than the original game. They added so much, like Ryan said, 30 hours of story content and multiplayer. When I say multiplayer, it's more along the lines of like you can now see people on planets, which is something that you couldn't before. So it's $70 to buy No Man's Sky. And that includes this free update. So
yeah, it's a free update. And they've said that basically there's been no paid updates since the game came out. Probably for good reason.
Well, yeah, I mean, the thing is, if they made anything a paid update, no one would buy it. So there's no point.
Yeah.
And they're more likely to, if they provide free updates and actually make it a better game, they're more likely to get money from people who are interested in checking it out.
Yeah. And I'm kind of at the point where I'm thinking, I want to check this out, but I'm wondering if this is
right, because you bought No Man's Sky, like you played it
when at it came release out. Yeah, I paid the $80 thinking this was, and I did enjoy what it was, and it might have been half it was a cool concept and half I put $80 into this, I should probably enjoy it, right? Probably have a good time, you know, stitch a smile on my face, right, let's go. You know, I enjoyed what it was, and when the foundation update came out in December or November or whatever, I really enjoyed that, but then I completely skipped the March update because I think it was like, we added vehicles, which is awesome because walking around sucks for exploration. But the fact that they've added story content, new aliens, a couple new strategy layers, like with the quests, they've revamped quests and stuff. Quests before were like...
I think they also added scavenging, because you can actually, if you come across like old space stations or, you know, fallen freighters and all that kind of stuff, you can actually get things out of them now. Before they were just set pieces, apparently.
Mm-hmm. See, the thing is, if they, and I said this in November, if they had launched this game as early access and said, hey, the game's not done, give us $80 now to try it and help us build this game, and then we'll build it over a course of time. And they probably, with these three updates, could have said, okay, version 1.0 is ready. Here you go. We're going to keep providing this updates.
This is the launch, yeah.
Exactly. And really, if you look at it, that would have just been a change in narrative when they were marketing this thing. Rather than saying this is going to be the best indie game ever released ever, they could have said this is going to be a really good early access game, and we're going to be working on the game with our fans. And it wouldn't have changed anything. Like, they could have still, you know, promoted it. They could have still talked about it on the internet. They could have still, you know, came out of this looking a lot better, only if they called it something a little different. And I think it's those folks that thought going in they were going to get a 1.0 and they didn't get it.
Well, I mean, that's because that's exactly what they called it, right? They said, this is our game, here's the full release, like, yay, big launch ceremony. And then there was a really shitty game behind it that felt super empty and unfinished.
Yeah.
Especially compared to all of the promises that the developer made heading into the launch of the game. So, I mean, you're 100% right. That was an early access title, basically. And, it was... That's why it was so, everyone was so ticked off, is because they didn't get what they were promised.
Yeah. It's interesting that now they've been doing these free updates. I think, you know, it's the internet. Hello Games will never be completely forgiven, because there's always going to be those folks that hold way too dearly $80 a year later. Like, you know, you have to move on from a choice you made to just kind of accept the fact and just, you know, try to be a better person. You know, you can be upset for a little bit, I get it, you can do that, but I think a year later, and with this goodwill gesture that they've been doing and actually trying to add these features that, you're right, they could have
just abandoned the game, and they didn't. So
no, and I think that shows something, you know, that they stuck with it. And I think the fact that they've added, you know, this synchronous co-op, a little bit, not synchronous co-op, but just kind of like discovering these bubbles. And it kind of feels like Journey, where you come across someone, and then just by the sheer fact that you, one in a billion chance being on the same planet with someone, and you want to just try it out, and you're like, okay, let's stick together and let's explore this map. Like, you're not interacting with each other, but you're just being around each other.
You can talk to each other.
Yeah,
I guess there's a... You enter like a local voice chat sort of thing. So if you get to a location, there can be up to 16 people in your voice chat.
And that sounds like, I hate voice chat normally with strangers, but that actually sounds really cool. You know, just talking to a complete random person just out of the blue. Like, and the first thing you're not going to be like, lol, let's teabag this person we just killed. You can just say, Wow, we're on this planet, this strange phenomenon of being on the same planet, one in a billion chance. Let's go teabag that fool. So you think
people are going to be nicer to each other because there's such a small chance of them, like, being in the same place as you?
That was the joke, though. Like, they'll be nice for a second, and then they'll talk about, you know, going and doing something terrible to that alien over there. But the thing is, like, this is the first step towards what will actually be co-op, in that I and someone else will be able to explore the planet together and interact and base build together. And I think this is one of those goodwill gestures, like, okay, maybe we can't get co-op working perfectly yet, but we can do the whole you'll discover other people. And this is sort of like kind of treating it as an alternate dimension type thing where you can see these other orbs, but it's a good step in the right direction. And honestly, I didn't really need co-op. I never really thought this game, I guess it needed it, but I wasn't really that super interested. Well,
it was one of the launch promises, right? That you'd be able to explore the universe with your friends, and then you were only able to explore the universe with yourself. And that's a big difference, right?
Yeah. And it just wasn't the reason I wanted to buy it. The reason I wanted to buy it was like exploration, you know, atmosphere to ground, from ground to atmosphere to space. Like, that was a really cool concept for me. And just the procedurally generated planets, like the fact that you could generate different planets across an entire, you know, system, universe even, just sounded really cool. And, you know, other than adding like these portals or these big black monoliths throughout the game, they're now portals to either other planets you visit or even random planets. They've also done a whole overhaul of the graphics. They've done I don't know if they want to call it high resolution, but it's definitely a graphical upgrade. And if you watch the Atlas Rise trailers, like, it's kind of hard to describe, but if you watch it, they kind of showcase that change. And I gotta say, like, it just looks a little bit more realistic, but keeping its cartoon charm kind of thing.
Yeah.
More so on the terrain, where they just kind of gave everything more detail. And because it's a procedurally generated game, it's still a hard thing to do, but because it's procedurally generated, you're able to do it a little easier than going back and redoing every little piece of grass. So that's really cool. So I'm glad that they've, you know, and they're not only continuing to add new subsystems, but they're also improving on things that didn't necessarily need that improvement. Some of the planets did look bland, so it's nice that they're punching it up a little bit, but yeah, I need to get into that. I haven't even played it. I've downloaded it. But I knew if I played it, Horizon and then this show would have suffered. So
exactly, because we would not have had the show if you hadn't gotten as far into Horizon as you did.
Go back to PS4, Ryan.
Yeah, I'm glad that you did. So
yeah.
I think that's going to do it for us this week. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Ryan, we have a patron ad from Simon this week. Did you want to take it away?
Sure. Simon says, Weekly News Desk is a podcast all about the geek news this week. Join your two knucklehead hosts, Andrew and Simon, as they keep you informed on movies, TV, video games, and books. Find them on iTunes or at weeklynews.com.
And you can visit us I can't talk tonight at all. Holy crap. All right. You can visit us on the web at gamersinpodcast.com. You can also find us on AMove TV along with other fabulous podcasts, including The Angry Nerd, Into the Nexus, The Angry Chicken, For Azeroth, Embrace the Spoilers, and Heroes Forge. You can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at JossPlays. Ryan is at RMurphy. And don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. The video versions of all our episodes can be found on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/AMoveTV. If you'd like to email the show and let us know what you think about StarCraft Remastered or Horizon Zero Dawn, please do so at info@gamersinpodcast.com. Thanks for staying at The Gamers Inn. Remember, tune in next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.